John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
Now with what God has called us to do, we need every day, every hour of every day to accomplish what he's really called us to do. And today we're going to see that. But that's why I wanted to have this be our last song this morning.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
be seated. Thank you, Tim. That last verse, teach me thy will. God's going to do that for us today. Edge Youth Group, those that are here can take off or upstairs. Security's watching for any of the adults who try to slip out. So we're continuing our study of Hebrews, but we got to verse 3, chapter 12 of Hebrews, and we've been talking about this belief of unbelief because a lot of people have this. A belief of unbelief today. I had it for many, many, many years of my life. It's an unfaithfulness to God, even though you say you believe in Him. You even say you love Jesus. You're not faithful to Him. You're not faithful to follow. You're not faithful to what this says. But so many people claim a belief in Jesus. Maybe even have a relationship. I claim that, but many have false relationships with God. Religion can do that, and Satan has set up religion to masquerade, to be a counterfeit, to pull people away from a true relationship with God, from true salvation. And so we want to make sure we understand what it means to have a relationship with God, so we're not stuck in this belief of unbelief that is referred to in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Because even when you're there, when you're in this, you don't realize you're in this. That's how deception works, the enemy. You're blind to your real spiritual condition. So like I said, we've been looking at what it means to have a relationship with God. And that's what Christianity is all about. Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies," and that's all humanity, when we were in sin, we were in rebellion to God, whether you were sitting in church or not, you were at odds with God. You were at war with God. We were His enemies. For even when we were enemies, were we reconciled to God? God commanded His love towards us while we were yet sinners, yet the enemies. Christ came and died for us. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Reconciled means to restore friendly relations. God, who created us, wants us to have a relationship with Him. Through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We have been redeemed by Christ. We are now reconciled back to the Father. And He is a very good, good Father. Friendly relations restored with Him. No longer an enemy, but His child, His children. The children who have been given a new life in Jesus. To live the rest of our days on this planet walking with God according to His ways and His will and His plan, no longer our own. And here's where the dilemma for many begins. Your relationship with God is designed to be a life-changing relationship. The old is gone, the new has come. Meant to give us the highest calling and purpose found under the sun. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So in this, looking at what it means to have a relationship with God, so far we have talked about the purpose of your relationship with God is to glorify God. The question you must ask, how does your life right now bring glory to God? If it's not bringing glory to God, then either your relationship is not real, it's strained, it's neglected, you must figure out why. How does your life bring glory to God? That is your purpose. To do this, you must know and understand Him. Path of the relationship, Jesus said, "I am the way." We must learn from and follow Jesus Christ. He is our example. Fruit of the relationship. This relationship that you have with God is designed to produce fruit. And the fruit from John chapter 15 is very clear. It is other believers. The fruit of the Spirit is not part of this fruit, though that takes place in the next one, the personal aspects of the relationship. This is the most crucial aspect of all. It is where the Spirit will produce His fruit. This is where you'll begin to be taught and guided. You'll be able to start to feel and hear that inner voice of the Holy Spirit, our guide, our counselor, our teacher. God will start directing you through the Word of God. He'll speak to you. This is where the relationship is the most personal and intimate between you and God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. It's a relationship like you've never had before. Well, you'll find someone closer to you than a brother. But at the same time, this one who calls you will call those who seek Him his friend. He's the perfect companion in that way. He'll never cheat you or rob you. He'll never betray you. He'll never stop loving you. But He's so much more. He is God. And He's your Creator, and He's your Savior, He's your Lord, your owner, Master. You've never had a relationship like this. But you must seek Him. And how do you do this? You must accept first His forgiveness. You have to accept that you are clean, that your past no longer defines you. You are free from it. And even if you mess up now, God forgives. So don't listen to the enemy's voice who says, stop trying to seek. You're not worthy. Yes, we're not worthy, but in Him we are. And even if we fail Him now, He still forgives. You must accept that you have been redeemed. And the way God sees you, and I gave you that list last week of some of the ways, the names, how God sees those who are been redeemed by Him, who are found in Christ. Accept God's forgiveness. Excuse me. Accept God's forgiveness. Believe God's love for you. This love will not be projected. Some people have not experienced a lot of love in this life. Maybe not even from their parents. Some people don't know what love is anymore, what real love is. The pure love. The love of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the agape love of God. But here, accept that God loves you. He's not going to betray you. Spend time with God in the Word. The Word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the very division of a person, their soul, their spirit, the heart. It'll speak to you. It'll come to life in you. And the Spirit uses it to sanctify us, which is the next part. But before I get you to embrace sanctification, spend time with God. Literally, this is communion. If you approach this now, this is religion. All right, I got to read a chapter a day to keep the devil away. All right, I'm reading. Okay, boom, boom, oof, done. That's religion. That's, if you approach the scriptures like that, you might as well not even approach them. You're wasting your time. You come to this knowing that the Word became flesh. This is literally the God-breathed words of God. God will breathe into you the life that is found in here. Through the Holy Spirit of God, you will be transformed. You'll be sanctified. You'll be renewed. You'll be restored. You'll be built up. You approach this book as, I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to let God talk to me. And then I'm going to let God sanctify me with these words. Spend time with God. Embrace the sanctification of the Word of the Holy Spirit. And He embraces us so we can obey God. That's how we know we love God. Love God by obeying God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And then learn to walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, some of the verses say. But walk in under control of the Spirit where He can produce the fruit of the Spirit. You can't produce it, but He can. That's this personal aspect. Okay. Next slide, Levi. Personal aspect of this. That's what we've covered so far. Now today, quickly, last 30 minutes I have with you. I want to look at the community aspect of the relationship. You've entered into a personal relationship with God to bring Him glory, to do it His way by following Jesus Christ, and to produce others to have salvation. But also you've been asked to be part of a community. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So did Christ die for sinners? Yes or no? Yes. Click one time, Levi. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. He died for the church. So, question, did He die for sinners or did He die for the church? Yes. Jesus died for sinners and He died for the church because they're one in the same. Not sinners in the church, but sinners who are born again, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, in Christ, they are the church. They're one in the same. You cannot separate it. I know a lot of people who call themselves Christians who don't go to church. Oh, I'm part of the universal church. You know, the church that has always existed since time. Yeah, technically, okay, that's okay. But as we're going to learn today, if you really love God, you'll obey Him. And He tells you to be part of a local body. But they're one and the same. The sinner who's been born again and the church. So, question is, what does it mean to be the church? Because it's not something we attend. If church is something you attend, you've got the wrong idea. You're doing it wrong. Now remember, as a pastor, I am to convince you of the truth, I am to rebuke you where you are wrong, and I am to exhort you. So, two of the times some of the message can come across negative or harsh. Those that look for a message that's always exhorting, you're not getting the other two. Convince them of the truth, rebuke them of the wrong, and exhort them. If the pastor is only trying to exhort you, he's doing you a discredit. But we do this in love. And it's for us as well. I'll learn right along with you guys as we do this. So being the church. Being the church is part of your relationship with God. It really is. It is part of your relationship with God. Not attending church or being in church, you're neglecting the relationship. Now, many people approach church this way, and I used to do this myself, even as a new believer. And I'm ashamed of myself, but this is what I did. Many people, this is how they approach church. They look at a church and go, what does the church offer me? What are you guys going to do for me? Or what are you going to do for my family? I need programs. I need this and this. What are you guys going to do for me? There was a famous president once said, what about our country? That's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Very good. And it's very much like the church when you understand what the Bible actually says about us being the church. You'll stop looking for a church to suit your needs because that's not what it's designed to do. So others will say, does the church, their preaching, their worship style, is it what I like? Do the teachings of the church always make me feel good? Does the church provide good social opportunities? I need social engagements. I need, you know, whatever. And a church that does not pressure me. I've heard that before. Rather, this is what we should ask God. If we understand what the Bible is actually telling us about being disciples and being the church, we should ask God, what church do you want me to go to? What church am I needed? Not just as a pastor, as an everyday member. So what does it mean to be the church? Let me show you something. Ephesians chapter 5 says this, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That is complete commitment. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. You see, each believer, in your personal relationship with God, you are to seek the personal sanctification through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, in yourself. You seek your personal sanctification. But you come here and we join together in a community sanctification of the body. By the same Spirit, the same Word. Personal sanctification and group sanctification with each other to become the church. A collective, a group of people who are brothers and sisters in Christ who have come together to be one team locally and have the Spirit work in all of us and make us one body, one team to accomplish the Great Commission of the church. To do that, he sanctifies us as a whole. He places specific spiritual gifts in believers so that we can come together and we can use those together in one collective, one body. Let me show you 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, and I'm not going to go into it. We talked about this before when we went through this 1 Corinthians. If you ever have any questions, you can ask at the gathering. I'm not going to go into all the details, but I am going to say this. This is greatly abused today. Spiritual gifts, greatly abused. But let me read this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. None of us are to be ignorant about this. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. I love Paul so blunt. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the same Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit controls us. He's out in the world convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And He uses people like Mark and Floyd to share the gospel so He can draw you to Himself so you can hear the gospel and be saved. The Holy Spirit is doing this. None of us would be here. None seek God, no, not one. But how do we end up being here? Because the Holy Spirit drew us. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, the gift that He has brought to you, is given to each one, each believer. If you're born again, if you are born again and you receive the Holy Spirit of God, He brought a gift into your life. Not something you had before, not a talent you had before. It is a spiritual gift given to each one for the profit of all. It's not given to you to go make money off it, or, you know, I'm not even going to get into all that. For the profit of all, it's for the whole body. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Because He knows, I need to send, I'll pick on Bud. Bud's a believer. I know he's needed in this body. And I'm going to equip him to be there in that body. But Bud has to submit to sanctification as a disciple and then seek the will of God where he's supposed to go. See, the Holy Spirit knows all this. His foreknowledge, He's God. Ephesians 4 says this, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints. Why? For the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. To build you up, to equip you in what this says. Why? So we can all work the ministry. What ministry are we all to work as this body, being sanctified together with spiritual gifts? What work of the ministry? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. If you're born again, you've been reconciled back to God. And has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Everyone who's born again has this ministry. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. Thank the Lord, right? And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So we have a ministry of getting others reconciled to God, and we are to speak the word of reconciliation. How does someone come back into relationship with God? How is someone born again? The gospel of Jesus Christ. We must speak it. All of us. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is the ministry we have. That is the Great Commission, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. How much authority does He have? All. This supersedes everybody and everything. All authority. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So, Christ died to save us sinners, but He also died to make us His church. You can't be saved and not be part of His church. The Holy Spirit comes in. We have a desire to do what God would have us do. That's how you, one of the reasons you know you're saved. I remember, you know, I thought I was saved for 28 years of my life until I got really saved, born again. And I hadn't been in church in over a decade, and I get saved, I get born again. And what do you think I want to do? I want to go back to church. I was like, where is that coming from? So you want to be in church because it's not about being in church. You are the church. You want to be there. It's who you are now if you're truly born again. Now, some claim, like I said, that they're saved and they're part of the universal church, and that's how they get away with it, and they avoid the local body. They don't get plugged into a church. I would say those people have deceived themselves because I've been there where I was a believer. And I wasn't a part of a local body. And I even hated those people who were in that local body. Yeah, right? Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? The belief of unbelief is powerful, though. It really is. I believe, but you're not faithful. And you don't see any hypocrisy in that. Been there, done that. All right. We come together to be sanctified as a church by the washing of the water by the word. We are to bring our spiritual gift into the working of the ministries. Not some of us, all of us. If not everyone is trying to bring their spiritual gift into the church is a body, as the Bible describes it, we're a handicapped body. If only some are bringing their spiritual gift. It's just the sad reality. We are to be bringing our spiritual gift into the working of the ministries of the church for the benefit of all. So the church, as one team, as one body, can take part together in the ministry of reconciliation, the Great Commission. Your personal relationship with God causes your personal sanctification by the Holy Spirit, which causes you to obey God in His Word. And so you do not forsake the assembling together. Church is not about you. It's about Him, and it's about the Great Commission. And so you go where you're needed and go and do what God wants you to do. So last few minutes I have. This is the Apostle Paul was speaking through 1 Corinthians and Ephesians, 2 Corinthians. I want to go to one more place where he talks about us being the church. Starts with us being a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. For yourself, you need to define this. How do you define this? Because a lot of people try to define this in whatever way, and literally, you're a living sacrifice. God's not asking you to die. He's already died for you, so you don't have to die. But He's asking you to be a living sacrifice, your life, wholly acceptable to God, to His cause, His church. Now, here's the problem today, and it's probably been this way forever, but people are too caught up in the things of this world. Now, we have jobs, I understand that. We got family, we got things we got to do. I'm not saying I want you guys to be like monks here all the time, because that would be annoying. But church takes a back seat. Our commitment to church and to the cause takes a back seat to our own causes. I have to be blunt and say that. And I've done this, I know. So I'm not saying something about you that I haven't seen in myself. To present your bodies, your life, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, since He died for you to save you, and through Him you have eternal life coming. So to sacrifice some years here now in His service, that's reasonable. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what the Word of God does. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, the will of God is your sanctification. We talked about that last week. Perfect will of God for you is to be sanctified personally, sanctified collectively as the church, and do his will. That's what he wants. All right, here Paul says, be the church and bring your gift. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself, herself more highly than he or she ought to. None of us should be getting a big head and we're better than anybody else in here. We're all on same level ground before the cross and before Jesus. But to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. None of us have the faith to do this whole church thing by ourselves. We're together. We're supposed to be one body. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. And individual members of one another. Folks, we have an obligation to one another. If this is where God has brought us to be his church here, then we need to be committed to this and to each other. Now, if he sends you somewhere else, you need to be committed there. Because the church, churches should not be in competition with one another. We should be mission focused. So fine, one church has 1,500 that attend, and one church has 10. Let's go get the job done. That's what we're here for. We're not in a competition. But be dedicated to one another. If you're really born again, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family. We've been called to be a body, a team. Let's get the job done. Let's support one another. We have a duty and obligation to our fellow church members. Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us by God's grace, we're saved. He gives us the gift of his choosing, his will. We have different gifts. But look what he says. Let us use them. Now, a lot of people say, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. And they ask me, what do they think? And I have no idea. I know what the will of God is for you. I can tell you that. Can I tell you what gift he has given you and the plans he has for you? No. But God knows. So how are you going to use them? There's only one way to discover your spiritual gift that God gave you to use in the ministries of the church. And this is what you're accountable for this. He's given us so much. Remember, as believers, we're going to stand the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand before the one who died for us. We're going to stand one-on-one, and we're going to give an account of how we followed him, how faithful we were, or not. And one of the things is, were we faithful enough to seek him, to do his will, so he could manifest the spiritual gift in us and use it through us? Or did we take other things more serious and we neglected not only the personal aspect of our relationship with him, we neglected the community aspect as well, the church. And just remember, we're going to stand before him and give an account. So there's only one way, and this is, I'm going to be done. We're going to jump to the, almost to the end. The only way that your spiritual gift is going to be manifest to you is if you seek personal sanctification and you plug in and start serving at the church in whatever capacity. As a new believer, someone told me this, and I said, okay, what do I need to do at the church? I'll clean toilets. I'll do whatever. I need to start serving. And know what they did? I couldn't clean toilets. I would have cleaned out the septic tank. They gave me the sixth grade boys in Awana. Because nobody else wanted them. Kid you not. That's what the pastor said. Nobody wants to teach them. Now, I'm fresh out of the Marine Corps, about a year or so. I'm a Marine. I'm like, sixth grade boys. I took care of those boys. That's where I started. Whatever I told the pastor, whatever you need me to do, I want to start serving. You see, a ship that is moving can be turned by a little rudder. But if the ship is stationary, it can't turn. So as a believer, you start seeking personal sanctification. And you start plugging in, you start working, helping out, whatever. And through that process, you're obeying God. Then He can work in that, and He can produce in you what He wants to produce. And eventually He'll lead you into your spiritual gift. It's the only way. You can't do either or. You must do both. Personal sanctification, could take years, and service. But eventually, He'll produce that gift. Hey, Gordon, skip down to, I think it's slide 51, Acts 17. There you go. Why should we do this? Why should we go through all the hassle? Why should we sacrifice what we want to do in this life? Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men and women everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. And if you're paying attention to the local world news and you know Bible prophecy, boy, that day is getting close. Because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees this world one of two things. If you believe in it and put your faith in Him and the resurrection, you've been born again, you're saved. If you don't believe it, if you reject the resurrection says you're going to be judged. There's a judgment coming on this world, on people you know. This is why we must take this serious, so God can transform us and turn us into good tools and vessels in His hands that He can work through, so we can preach the word of reconciliation to those who need to hear it. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace. So, closing. Team, come on up. Be the church. This is not some new age yoga thing either, right? All right. I'm not saying be the church. No, I'm not saying that. Be the church. You gotta help us. You gotta plug in. Use your spiritual gift or start trying to get it developed in you by seeking the Lord and helping out. Do the ministry of reconciliation. That can start now. Join Floyd. He'll take you to the nearest person sitting down and boom. Go with Mark. Go with John. Come. Do it in your home. Do it at work. Fulfill the Great Commission. That's what we're all about. If you're not about the Great Commission doesn't even come in your daily mind. You're missing what it means to be a disciple. You're off track. Fill the Great Commission. That's what we're all called to do. Bring glory to God. Again, what about your life is bringing glory to God? And I've had people say, well, I go to church. Well, that doesn't bring glory to God. That's for your benefit. Well, I don't sin anymore. Well, good, because sin was going to destroy you and judge you. But how does that bring glory to God? What are you doing to testify of Him and His goodness and His greatness and what He's done for us? Bring glory to God. So, on the close, John 14, 15. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What I just shared with you was not my opinion. It's what Scripture tells us to do. A lot of churches, pastors will make it all about you, and they want to sell you stuff. They want to give you your best life now, and they're wolves in sheep's clothing. True pastors are going to teach you maybe what you really don't want to hear all the time. Because we love you. First, we love Him, and we love you. Now, I want you to stand before Christ. We're going to stand before Christ. Those trumpets will sound. We will get raptured, and we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And you'll stand up there in front of the one who died for you. And at that moment, the reality will be overwhelming. Many, I think, will weep at that moment because they'll be saved as by fire, but their whole life will burn up in the judgment. They did nothing really for Christ. They took the gift and kind of put it away. I don't want that for you. I want to hear you. I want you to hear from Him. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'll be in the back going, yes. Yes. Get it. Get it, Clay. Trevor, go. Rich. Ryan. If you love me, keep my commandments. He who does not love me does not keep my word. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And that fruit is other believers. Other sinners coming to a saving knowledge. That's what your life will be about. No matter if you're wearing a badge, you're teaching a school, working construction, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You're a church, the church, wherever you go, and your life is about helping others. All right, we got 1 minute to sing a 3-minute song. All right, so we'll put it on fast forward so you get ready to sound like the chipmunks, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for the beautiful teaching that we have. It's hard. It's tough. But Lord, what you came and did for us was even more. So this is our reasonable service. So Lord, please, not to make us feel bad, not to beat people over the head, but Lord, convict our hearts and souls where maybe we're giving you less of what we should. Maybe we're not offering you our best anymore. And we need to get back to what it really means to be a disciple, to be the church. And I ask you to help us because the time is short. The signs of the times are happening, Lord. And there's a limited time for us to get the gospel out to people. So I ask you, Lord, to help this teaching seek into our hearts. Let us ponder on it. Let us take any sort of rebuke or correction in a godly manner, in a mature manner, and go, you know what? I need to change. I need to course correct. And I ask you to help us to come together as your church, as those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We pray this in your name. Amen. Why don't you guys go ahead and sing? Stand up and we will sing and then we'll go home.
I was a wandering soul, traveling a well-worn road, a sinner so far from home, no second chance in sight. I heard you call my name, I felt you lift my shame, and I made a vow that day that I spend the rest of my life loving my Jesus, showing my scars, telling my story of how mercy can reach you where you are. And I pray the whole cry in my heart is to see all the ones I love loving my Jesus. Sin tries to make you high, whispers that same old lies, keep all your pain. Lost world needs someone I'm
Coming into her own, isn't she? Yeah. She can rip it. So can I. Right? Enjoy the rest of your day. Stay cool. We'll see you later this week. New week. We got a great 4th of July thing. Invite people. We want people. We'll have the It Is Finished ministry up and operational as well. This will be a great outreach. Great place. We'll feed them and share the gospel. And they can watch fireworks with us. So it'll be a fun night. So come on out on July 4th, the best place in town. All right, team, let's go out and be salt and light. Let's go be Team Jesus. Let's go play for our captain. Let's get the job done. Let's go be the church, his church. Count of three, let's break out of here. One, two, three, break. Let's go.